My mother came to Christ. My brother led her to the Lord. And she used to say, I have two sons. They're both preachers. She enjoyed saying that. She grew up in the roughest kind of way, left home as an 11-year-old girl because of an abusive stepfather, and never thought she accomplished a great deal in life with her life, I imagine, but she was thrilled to be able to say things about her children. I have two sisters and one brother. Now, both my sisters know the Lord. One of them has a daughter who's been through our college on the mission field now in Chile. Thank God for her. And she'd say, both my boys are preachers. My brother came to the Lord when he was 26 years old. I got saved when I was 13. I'm 13 months younger than he is, and I had the opportunity to see him come to the Lord. What a thrilling thing that has been, see how God has used him. And, of course, for years, I introduced him. Now, where I go, people say, this is Tom Sexton's brother. This is Tom Sexton's brother. And I say, yes, I'm Tom Sexton's brother. I'm very happy to be Tom Sexton's brother. But we've had him preach so many times. I don't know how he's got anything else to say because he's been here so many times, but I'm sure there's something in that 1,189 chapters of the Bible. He'll find something somewhere in there. And so you pray for him as he comes in just a moment. Started a church. It's become a great church. God's used him in the mission work around the world, and we're thankful to God for that. Happy to have him preaching. He's going to come preach in just a moment, but first Carrie's going to come and sing. I want you to think, one of these days, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see him. We're going to behold him. What a thrilling thing to think we're going to see the Lord. You pray for her. She sings about it. And Brother Tom's coming to preach. The pianist just got called out for her baby. And that's going to be all right. And we'll get another one up here in just a moment. Why don't you have a seat right over here, will you please? Brother Tyler, one of them. We'll give him the music. We'll give him the... Brother Tyler, you can handle that. Good. 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 Don't you like to get called on for these assignments? Very good. Good for you. Just as simple as that. Just play it. That's right, you know. And I know you're. I know it's a tough deal. But God bless you. Y'all will do well. Come along, Carrie. God bless you. Carrie grew up around here, and we've watched her go through grade school, high school, and all that. So she's used to us. We're used to her. Right? Good.
God bless you. One of these days, we shall behold him. The next great event on God's calendar events, the rapture of the church. I hope you're ready for the rapture. It could happen tonight. Wouldn't that be exciting? Praise God. I'm ready. I want to thank my dear brother for allowing me to come and be a part of this meeting. And I really believe that the Lord is doing something wonderful in the lives of people, not just the ones here, but the ones who are listening in other parts of the world and following this service. And may God use these messages and this time that we're together to stir our hearts to reach a world that's waiting on God. Think about all the people that are waiting for us to make a decision whether we're going to reach them with the gospel or not. We're here. We know Christ. We're going to heaven. But what we do with our lives will determine where people spend eternity. I hope you believe that. That's the reason we're here tonight. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. I'm going to read just one verse tonight and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us. John chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse number 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And dear Jesus, tonight I need you. And dear Lord, I ask you to help me tonight, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your Spirit. Dear God, give me clarity of thought. And I pray tonight, dear Lord, that you would do what I cannot do, and that speak to the hearts of people. And Lord, tonight, we need you to open our minds and hearts of understanding. Help us to see truth. And help us, dear Lord, that when we leave this meeting tonight, that we will please you with our lives. And we'll thank and praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I won't speak tonight on this subject. God's will and our work. God's will and our work. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God? The Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. The Word of God says, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to know tonight that God wants all people to be saved. Do you believe that? He's not willing that any should perish. And the Lord Jesus said, I came into this world not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. One of the things that changed my life completely was when I got a hold of the will of God. Amen. And the will of God is real simple, that God wants all men to be saved. If we would ask the Lord Jesus why he came into this world, some would say, they would say that Christ would say he came to do miracles, but we know that that's not the reason he came. Some would say he came just to teach good things and great truth, but we know that's not the reason he came. The Lord Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And it was God's will for the Lord Jesus to die on Calvary for our sins. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus came down to this earth to die for our sins? Amen. And not just for our sins, but the Bible says he died for all of our sins. For he made him to be sin for us. Aren't you glad that us includes everyone? He died for our sins. The most wonderful thing that ever happened in human history was when Christ died for our sins. The Word of God says that Christ came in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. I want to try to illustrate something. If I could, I'll have these young men right here, if you would. Would you just stand right across the front, if you would, please? The Bible says that God created us. Now, we know that tonight. That's not something we debate and discuss. We believe the Word of God, that God created us. God created everything. Everything that is, God created. Do you believe that tonight? God created us. When he breathed life into Adam, God started something. God created time. And thank God for that. I'm glad he's given us time, aren't you? I'm glad he's given us time to live in this life. And what we do in this thing we call time is going to count for all of eternity. But when God created man, he created time. And the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Brother Scott, I want you to help me if you would, please. And fellas, won't you scoot down this way just a little bit if you would. God bless you this way. These are fine looking young men, aren't they? I want you to imagine with me tonight. Thank you, fellas. I want you to imagine with me tonight that these young men represent all of human history. And this is Adam. You kind of favor Adam a little bit, I believe. And then all down through the centuries, and this fine young man will represent the last person ever conceived right here. Now, we don't know when that's going to be. But God created time, and God knows the beginning from the end. And God the Father has never been bound by time. But the Word of God says that God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time. There was a time in human history when the Lord Jesus, I'm going to let Scott represent the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus came into this world and entered time. I want you to stand there if you would, please. And when he came into this earth, he proved that he was the Messiah. There's no question about it. And the Bible says that when Christ died on Calvary, the Word of God says that God made him to be sin for us. Now, this is an amazing thing, that God the Father reached back from the beginning of time, and God the Father reached to the end of time, and God took all of our sins and he put it on Jesus, and he died for our sins according to the Scripture. He died for every sin that's ever been committed. He died for our sins. By the way, God didn't leave one out. And the Lord Jesus said, I came into this world not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And when Christ died for our sins, he was doing the will of God.
Amen.
The Word of God says he died. And on the third day, he rose from the grave, proving he is God. And the Bible says when he rose from the grave, he proved himself, of course, with many proofs. And then when it was done, he came and took his seat. His work was finished. He's the only one who can truly say, what God has given me to do, I have finished. He completed God's plan of salvation. Now, every sin debt has been paid for in full.
Amen.
Thank you, fellas. God bless you. The will of God is for all men to know Christ as Savior. The Bible says that God wants the gospel preached to every single creature. Now, here's the only way that it's going to be done. The will of God is to be carried out by God's children through the ministry of a local church. We're doing the will of God, and I learned a long time ago that one of the most important things we have to understand is this, that it is not God's will for my life, but rather my life for God's will. And so the Lord Jesus finished his work. Now we have something for us to do. And what we're to do, we're to make sure that every single person on the face of God's earth has the privilege of hearing the glorious gospel of Christ. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, are you still with me tonight? We're to give our life to do God's will. What would happen tomorrow if every child of God made one decision tonight, and that's this, that we're going to give our life to do God's will. In other words, that every person we met, we were going to help them do the will of God with their life. I wrote in my Bible many years ago, I wrote in the flyleaf of my Bible, the will of God for my life is to help everybody else do the will of God with their life. That's the will of God for my life. It's to help everybody else do the will of God with their life. If I meet someone who does not know Christ as Savior, I must make sure that they know Christ as their personal Savior. If I meet someone who is saved and never been followed Christ in believer's baptism, then they need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. The will of God is for them to take the next step. If they've been saved and baptized, not a member of a local church, it is the will of God for them to be a part of a local church and serve God with their life. Do you believe that tonight? Now, what would happen if we just decided tonight that we're going to give our lives to do God's will? That's the first decision we have to make to really see revival in our nation and see God do a great work around the world. You see, it's no secret what the will of God is. The smallest child can understand this, that God's will is for every single person to know Christ as Savior. That's God's will. Now, what is the work that God has given us to do? I want you to notice in your Bible, if you would, the Word of God says in John chapter number 6, let's ask the Lord Jesus, what is it that God wants us to do now? The Bible says in John chapter number 6, in verse number 28, they said unto them, and they said, then said they unto him, the Lord Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Now let me tell you what our work is. Our work is to believe. That's what we are. We're believers. First, we must believe the gospel. Do you believe that's important tonight? We're saved by believing the gospel. We believe what God did. We believe that Christ died for our sins. I want you to notice, if you would, hold your place there, and I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, a very familiar verse with most everyone who's here tonight, I'm sure, Ephesians chapter number 2. And the Bible says in verse number 8, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8, the Word of God says, for by grace are you saved. And I heard many years ago, and I'm sure you have too, that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a pretty good definition. The Lord Jesus died for us. For by grace are you saved. And what's that next word? Say that real loud, would you? What is it? Through faith. Let me tell you what happens. When someone hears the gospel, God can save them because it's through faith that we trust Christ as Savior. In the book of James, they asked the question, can faith save? I have some friends, and in our church in Florida, we fish a lot. I don't get to fish very much, but I like to think that I could, but we go fishing. How many fishermen are here tonight? And we like it. I got one guy in our church who's a wonderful fisherman, Brother Rick Dugan. I love him. He's a Sunday school teacher, and he's so faithful. He named his boat Answered Prayers. And it really has nothing to do with catching fish. And I will tell you why he answered that boat, why he named that boat Answered Prayers, is because God has used him while he's out fishing to tell people about Jesus. On one occasion, Brother Rick Dugan and another one of our dear brothers, Brother Fred David, were out fishing. They were in a place that's a good fishing place. It's North Captiva Pass in our area, and they were fishing. It was a beautiful day. I mean, the weather's clear, and the seas are calm, and the tide was going out, and they were just enjoying themselves, and they noticed this one boat was there. It was a really nice pontoon boat, a deck boat. And this man was on that boat in a wheelchair, electric wheelchair. He was paralyzed from his neck down. They went by, they waved at the folk, and of course he was there on the boat. His healthcare person was there with him, and the captain on that boat was with him. And so they noticed him, and they went over a ways from them, and they were fishing. And this big boat came by and rocked that boat. And when they saw that, they looked, and to their horror, they saw this man in a wheelchair go overboard in the pass, strapped to the wheelchair, paralyzed from his neck down. Immediately, they ran over, went over and got beside him, and they're in the water, and they're taking him free from his wheelchair, and they're trying to get him back in the boat. The tide's pulling him out. The current's moving, and I mean, they risked life and limb to get this man on the boat. And they got him on the boat, and he was blue. And they took him over to the island, which was pretty nearby. And one of them took the cell phone and called the medevacs. And in a little while, a helicopter came and flew him from there to the hospital. And his life was saved. And when they did the report on the thing, they saw the boat was Answered Prayers. And they made a big deal out of that in our newspaper. And then one person said this, that cell phone saved his life. They said, that cell phone saved his life. And I want you to know tonight, the cell phone didn't save his life. What saved his life was the paramedics coming and medevacing him to the hospital. They saved his life. I want you to know tonight, no one's going to be walking through heaven saying, faith saved me. They're going to go through heaven and say, God saved me. It is not by faith, it's through faith. And what gives us faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Are you still with me tonight? I want you to see this tonight, that God wants us to realize that what he has given us to do is to believe him. The night that I got saved in July of 1976, my dear brother was preaching. That night he chose for his text, Andrew found his own brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Christ. What a night that was. I was sitting in the back of the auditorium. I did not come to church with plans to be saved. I came to church with emptiness. I wanted to know some things, but I did not plan to get saved that night. And my dear brother stood behind the pulpit and he preached the word of God and the glorious gospel of Christ. And something happened. I heard God's word and God lit me up. The Bible says the word of God is light. Are you still with me now? Light. I was given some light that night. And I don't know how it worked, no more than I understand how you can take a cell phone and connect to somebody. I could call someone in other parts of the world tonight. We could not see the connection. We may not understand the connection, but we know that when you dial here, somewhere people are reached. And that night, I heard the word of God. I don't understand how faith got me connected to God, but I do know this. Faith was the result of hearing the word of God. And when I heard that God loved me, I realized that I could ask God to save me. And that night, I was saved through faith. Do you understand that tonight? When we tell somebody how to know the Lord, it lights them up. I was on a plane coming up here and we had some difficulties, so they felt sorry for me in Atlanta and bumped me up to first class. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? I sit down next to a guy and started to talk to him. And the first thing he said was, hold on a second. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear any of this. He said, I'm a businessman. I've got my own faith, my own beliefs. I don't want to hear none of this. I don't want to hear this. I said, well, I'm not trying to convert you. I'm just trying to tell you what God did for me. I said, you don't have to get saved from me. And I sit there on the plane and talk to him about what God has done for this world. And you know what happened? Now, he didn't get saved. But he heard the word of God. He heard it. And I don't know where he's at. I don't know what happened. But I know this, that he heard something that's given him enough faith to get a hold of God. Because he heard the word of God. And it's through the word of God that we have faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith. No wonder the Lord Jesus said, have faith in God. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. Have faith in God. faith. You see, what God wants us to do, the work that we're given, is to believe Him. Do you know what we're called? We are called believers. How many are a believer tonight? Are you a believer? Believers. You see, we believe that God saves us when we ask Him. We're saved through faith. Now, please don't lose this, because later on I want you to understand the importance of through faith. Are you still with me now? So, we get saved when we hear the gospel. Then we give our lives to God by faith, through faith. We believe that God has a plan for our life. And listen, God works everything out perfect. Do you believe that? I mean, God works everything out just absolutely perfect. I like this verse where God says, I will perfect, I will perfect. Listen to this verse in the book of Psalms, if you would. In Psalm chapter 138, verse number 8. Listen to this verse. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Don't you like that? Amen. Aren't you glad that God says, I can perfect this thing which concerneth you? How does He do that? How does God perfect everything in my life? How did God perfect my salvation? It's through faith. How does God perfect the path that He has for me in my life? It's through faith. How does God help me be prepared for the place He has for me in heaven? It's through faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. God has called us to live by faith, and faith is believing God. Faith is needing God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now, when you hear the Word of God preached, and when you hear the Word of God taught, and when you read the Word of God, God's Word can light you up. And by doing that, the Word of God can produce faith in your life. And you can, by faith, do something for God with your life. Now, I knew that God had something for me. I knew that God had a plan for my life. And I believed God's plan for my life, and I said yes. As we do the will of God with our life, we will discover the will of God for our life. Let me say that again. As we do the will of God with our life, we will discover the will of God for our life. Faith can only be known by what it does. And when you have faith, it does something for you. Changes your life. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, we've heard some preaching in this meeting. And what God wants us to do is to believe, to have faith, and to exercise. When we say yes to God, God does a wonderful work. See, we're believers. We're believers. I got a hold of this. I'm a believer. That's what I am. And you're a believer. And if you're a child of God, you're a believer tonight. Now, you may meet people that know a whole lot more about this book than you and I meet. I know folk who know so much about this book, it's shocking how much they know. But it's not what you know, it's what you believe that changes lives. There are a lot of people that know a whole lot, but they don't believe very much. You see, a little child can trust Christ as Savior and believe that the gospel will work on mom and dad, and by faith, they can see their mom and dad saved. I've seen that happen. You've seen it happen around here. Teenagers cannot know a whole lot about the Bible. They could get saved, but if they believe God, then God will honor that faith. Are you still with me? So let me ask you a question. How much do you want to believe tonight? How much do you want to see God do something tonight? Because we're believers. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 28, look if you would, this great chapter. In Matthew chapter number 9, I love this story. These two blind men come to Jesus. And they've heard about him, that he's able. And the word of God says in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them," now look what Jesus said, "Believe ye that I'm able to do this?" Do you believe I'm able to do this? "And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, and saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith, be it unto you. According to what you have believed God for, be it unto you. Do you know what this world is waiting on? Say, they're waiting on the gospel. It's true. But what they're waiting on is for believers to believe.
Amen. Amen.
That's what they're waiting on.
Yes, sir.
They're waiting for us to believe that God died for them. Do you believe God did? But do you believe it enough to let it change your life? They're waiting for us to believe that their soul is as precious to God as our soul is. Do you believe that tonight? They're waiting for us to believe that God wants them to hear the gospel. You see, believe in God, having faith in God, is the only way this thing works. The Lord Jesus said, "Have faith in God."
Amen.
The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, the Lord Jesus said, turn there if you would, in Mark chapter number 11, verse 22, the text I read a moment ago, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." We have tonight all that we are believing God for. That's all we have. You see, God owns everything. He said in Corinthians, all things are yours. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Do you believe everything is yours? Do you believe that all power, when God said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and earth, and God says, go ye therefore, and when the Lord said, ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Do you believe that God has the power to empower you to do something in this world for him? If you believe, it's yours. Do you believe that God can meet all of your needs? If you believe it, and you have faith in God. Now, where does that faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. You see, God's Word gives us faith. And with that faith, we get from God, through faith, everything we need to reach this world for God. It's through faith. It's through faith. My brother was a 14-year-old boy, got saved. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? What did the Word of God say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? And what else? And what? I wonder how many have ever believed that. You say, I haven't got to that. Well, hold on a second. We're believers.
And the Word of God gives us faith to believe. All we've got to do is get God's Word and believe God. The reason people don't get saved is because we don't believe. The reason we don't have our needs met is because we don't believe. The reason the world is dying without God is because we do not believe. They said, "What is the work of God that I might do God's work?" And the Lord Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe." There's nothing else for us to do. There's nothing else for us to do. He did it all. Now, when we believe, things start happening. When I believed that God wanted me to go to Cape Coral, Florida, and start the Gulf Coast Baptist Church, I got up and I started doing something. But it was after I believed. When I believed that God wanted me to go to the mission field and preach to those folk and to take the gospel, I believed God and I made plans to go. We've got to believe God. And when we believe God, we'll do whatever we must do to accomplish what God has put in our heart to believe. You see, tonight, the whole world is waiting for you to believe something. And here's what's amazing about the Lord. This thrills me. No one person can believe it all. So God lets you believe a little. And you get to believe a little. And you get to, and you get to. I wonder tonight, who's believing God for the 40 million people in the Caribbean islands where there's such a void of God's work? 500,000 Muslims live in the Caribbean. 40 million people. We estimate there's one church for every 245,000 people. I wonder tonight who would say, "I believe God wants them saved." If you could believe that, tomorrow, tonight, you would make plans to go. I wonder tonight who believes God wants people in South Florida. 13.2 million people living in South Florida. If you add that with the Caribbean, that's nearly 53 million people. Brother Tommy Odom preached here. God bless him. Did a great job. He's in the greater Miami area. 7.2 million people and just a handful of churches. I'm not talking about churches that still believe the old faith. I'm talking about churches, a handful of them. And those souls are precious to God. They're going to die and spend eternity somewhere. Does anybody believe God tonight? Does anybody believe God? You say, "If I believe Him, if I believe Him, then God is going to let me do something." He said, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to." I like that. According to what? His riches. He wants everybody in heaven. Is that right?
That's right.
You know what's rich people? You know what the trophies in heaven are? It's people. God will meet our needs according to what we're willing to accept right here, right now. If you will accept the responsibility of the unsaved, God will meet your needs to accomplish it. Because He's done everything else there is to do. There's nothing left for Jesus to do. He's paid a sin debt in full. He's seated in heaven tonight. All power
is given unto me. You need power? God will give it to you. All wealth, everything, it's all God. This earth's the Lord's. Life is God's. Death is God's. Things present, things to come, they're God's. Think about what's coming for us. It's yours. There's something coming for you. That's what Jesus said. I'm excited about what's coming for me, aren't you? It's yours. How do you get it? We got to have faith. Where's faith come from? From the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, because you're a believer, you can believe. You say, I don't have much faith. It doesn't take much. It just takes enough to be connected to God, and that's the Word of God. Imagine tonight all the people in this auditorium and those listening, if they truly believe God for something to be accomplished. That won't happen unless they know Christ as Savior. They've had to have faith in the Lord Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got to know Christ. Then they've got to give their life to do God's will. And that's important. And then they start believing. You know what I want to do? I want to believe. I really do. I want to believe. We were in the Congo, and I'll close with this. We were in the Congo, and Brother Seabury is here somewhere. God bless. Where are you, Brother Seabury? Yeah, right there. I want you to say it right there. God bless him. Come here just a second, would you, brother? Brother Seabury, one of the humblest men I know down in Eldoret, Kenya. And got saved later on in life, gave his life, served God. He and his wife just sold out to the Lord. Brother Seabury has been working hard since 1999. His church, with the help of some others, has started over 500 churches. Some of those churches meeting under trees and in villages. I've been in some places. Come here. I've been in some places. You're talking about scary. But we went to Democratic Republic of Congo last year. What a meeting. Through all the trouble in Rwanda, some of those people came over to Goma. And there's about 3.25 million people in Goma. And we met with some believers. And we started believing, didn't we? Yes. God got in the thing. Oh, my goodness, we had a meeting. And then we were teaching them and preaching, helping these pastors about, I don't know, well, it was about 200 or 300 there. And the last day of the conference, the meeting, and we like to never got there. The devil greatly withstood us. But the last day of the meeting, I was teaching the pastors and their wives how to share their faith. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
And I asked them a question. How many, and they speak French. I said, how many came to know Christ before your 18th birthday? And there was no hands. And I said, they must not understand what I'm talking about. So I explained it again. I was speaking through one interpreter. Then Brother Seabury helped me with Swahili and then French, and I asked the question again, how many received Christ as Savior before your 18th birthday? And I don't know, 300 or 400 people there, no hands raised. None. I'd heard them give their testimony, and I was listening, and they talked about horrible life of sin. God saved them out of them. And I rejoiced over that, but I was saddened because outside of that meeting was about 1,500, 2,000 children with their faces pressed through the windows, and they were listening. And I said, again. And then I discovered something. Those precious people, and God love them, they're walking in the light they've been given. And Brother Seabury helps them so much and has just made contact with these folk in the last few years. They did not understand children can be saved. They just didn't know that.
Nobody has ever taken the word of God and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them. Nobody ever told them and taught them how to have children crusades and win children to Christ. Our last day, I saw those children in a different way. There's a little girl, you remember her, who followed us. As we went away, this little girl walked beside the car, and I have her picture. She's about 10.
About 10.
Beautiful little girl. And she's looking at me with those dark, deep eyes. And she was saying, without saying a word, what about me? What about me? And as we went away, she walked as far as she could walk. She didn't wave bye. She just looked like all hope has been gone. And I thought, who's going to believe God for these little children? Believe. You know, we can sit here tonight and talk about the world dying, and we can talk about people spending eternity separated from God, but one day we're going to see the great white throne judgment, and we're going to see blood drip from our fingers, and we're going to see those eyes look at us, and we're going to know the reason they died without God is because we did not believe. There's no other reason. We must believe. That's their only hope. If you believe, something's going to happen. Immediately, things are going to start changing. Thank you, Brother Seabury. God will meet your need. Just an hour flight from Fort Lauderdale, 30-minute flight, is an island called Haiti. We all know about the earthquake, don't we? But do you know tonight there's still 1 million people living on rock piles? Do you know tonight there's 500,000 children that'll never, ever, ever again go to school? Do you know tonight there are people sitting there waiting for God's people to believe, to come and touch their lives? God has got their attention. And they've been waiting, what, a year? Waiting. And we sit here, we know, but we don't believe. Everything changes when we believe.
Amen.
Are you a believer tonight? God bless you.